All right, welcome to episode
17,
Geek versus Geek. I'm Bug, and this is
Geo. What's up, everybody? It's been a couple of weeks.
Yes,
sorry
sir.
For the delay.
Well, the delay is actually my fault. So, I had a family situation I had to take care of the last 3 weeks out of town, which did not preclude me having access to the studio and production equipment. So, y'all had to listen to some of our
greatest hits.
I wouldn't say greatest hits, but some of the early stuff that has a limited audience. You know,
it amazes me. The stuff that people listen to and the stuff they don't listen to.
Well, I think it's hit or miss right now until we develop a larger audience. But we just keep doing what we do. Some people are listening, so that's a good thing. So how you been, man?
Oh, just had my nose to the old work grindstone, man. You know how it is.
Yeah, I do. I need to get back in it myself.
Been trying to keep an eye on stuff so that, you know, it's been hit or miss, you know, as far as like things that are interesting, or unless you count King Etch-a-Sketch and his numerous blunders.
Well, dude. Oh my God.
How anybody can fall off a bike sitting still is beyond me. But apparently, if you're an 80-something-year-old man, it's possible.
You know, he's made things possible I never dreamed of being possible, and I don't mean that in a good way.
How you can fall up steps?
Yeah, I've fallen down steps. So I have done that. I've fallen down steps, man.
Down, I understand, yeah. But up?
Yeah, I've fallen down steps plenty of times. Falling up steps? I have no idea.
In all honesty, I can understand how it happens when you don't pick up your feet, which I have trouble doing because of my condition. It does happen. But in his case, it's just sad.
Yeah. It's terrible. So
it's
much
terrible.
So,
terrible, really, as Charles would say. It's just terrible.
Yeah. I'm really not feeling like I just don't even want to talk about the guy. I mean, seriously. I mean, we can. I'm not opposed to it, but just, you know, my personal feelings of the matter is like, I'm done. I mean,
as far as like stuff that's going on and everything, it's kind of interesting, but you know, I mean, it's you got to laugh at it at this point. That's the only thing you can do. I mean, I don't know how they think, as far as our leaders are concerned, I don't understand how they think that, we can possibly take them seriously if you know, you're going to put stuff on television and not just one episode, six episodes or however many of like, you know, complete bullshit that is the January 6th trial. I mean, how do they expect us to take them seriously? I mean, do they really think we're all that stupid?
No. Well, No, because a lot of people are that stupid, you know, and that's the thing. But it's like I was telling my dad, all this stuff that's happening, like the high gas prices, Biden falling off a fucking bicycle that's not moving, the food shortages, I have to believe they're doing it on purpose to wake us up, you know, to snap us out of the COVID fog that we've been in. It's like...
They're not doing it for a good purpose, I can assure you.
I don't know. I mean, it's so ridiculous, dude, that nobody's buying the shit anymore. Nobody's buying it. I mean, even people who were staunch Biden supporters are like, you know, I gotta admit, man, things were better with Trump. And I'm like, yeah, because it's true, you know. But I quit throwing Trump in people's face because that's not helping anybody. Just bringing them the facts, I feel like, is the best thing to do at this point.
Yeah, at this point, I'm focused on the people that are actually like our congressmen and shit.
Man, people. Did you hear about that Latina woman that won in Texas who's a conservative?
Yes. Which everybody.
Hey. I mean, I don't even live in Texas, and I'm like, yeah, y'all know what you voted for. I get it. Y'all know what? I'm like, oh, damn. Why can't they elect folks like that in Alabama? Damn it. Damn, Texas. Damn.
No. Well, it's unfortunately it's more than a popularity contest as much as they would like it out to be that. I mean, I think we ought to institute like an American Idol situation if that's all they're going to worry about.
Well, that's kind of the way it is.
For 6 months, like, okay, everybody get up, put on your bathing suits. Do your talent. I mean, yeah, man. So we got some pretty good responses to our financial episodes, as you let me know before we
did. Yeah, I didn't have access to the stats until I got back. That's why you didn't hear anything.
There was like, you said, I remember there was a thing a while back we were going to talk about, just wanted to mention doing like, you know, verbal contracts, which apparently are not a good thing.
No.
I don't care how well you know the person, how well you trust the person.
And I will, I'll just say this. And this is because, I don't know if, well, you didn't personally have an experience, but we have a mutual friend that had an experience. And I had a few people ask me some follow-up questions after part two, I think it was. It kind of gave me, I kind of almost felt like we should do a part three, but then I didn't really know how much material I had for part three. I mean, I could talk about it. We could do a whole podcast and that'd just be the theme of the show from now on. I mean, we could continually talk about personal finance, but as far as just basic getting the corporation that is yourself back in shape. I didn't really feel like I had enough to offer, but one thing I will cover, because I was asking, we have a mutual friend that ran into a situation. Anytime you make an agreement, any kind of agreement, especially that involves money, get it in writing. Get it in writing. and get it notarized if at all possible, or at least have a witness sign it. Because people renege on agreements all the time, and for many different reasons. Whether you're renting from somebody, get a lease, sign it, bind it. That protects not only the landowner, but it protects you as a rentee as well. If you're going to rent a place, document any damage when you move in and take pictures and keep it in a file. So when you move out, you have documents of, hey, this was like this when I moved in. I'm not responsible for any of these repairs because I did not do them. But the most important thing about this that I think you were getting at is, like I said, verbal agreements are worthless. Yeah, they'll hold up in court, but they're hard to prove. Because it's your word against theirs. Now, you might get lucky and have two or three witnesses, but so could the other person. People lie for people all the time. And for, like I said, there's a multitude of different reasons to motivate them to do this. But they can't renege on something that's in writing. And they can't dispute something that has a witness sign that document. And if you sign something, genuinely take the time to read it. If you don't understand it, take it to a lawyer, pay a small fee, and have that lawyer read it and go over it with you so you know where you stand. Word of mouth, verbal agreements, whatever you want to call them, are shoddy. And you, if you're the payee, or, you know, if you're the one paying the money, you're the one that's going to get screwed. And if somebody owes you money, you're the one that's going to get screwed. Either way, you're screwed unless it's in writing. And if somebody presents you a document in writing, whether it's a lease or a contract of some sort or any kind of agreement, before you sign anything, because that's cement. That's in stone once you put your signature on it. So take it to a lawyer if you don't understand it. Take it to somebody you trust. You know, if Uncle Bob's good with legal documents, take it to Uncle Bob, have him go over it with you. But I suggest if you don't understand what you're reading, there's a lot of legal mumbo jumbo, take it to a lawyer, have him look it over. It's worth a small fee that you would have to pay for that. And maybe some attorneys will do it for nothing. If, you know, it just depends. But most of them are going to charge you for every little minute. And that's fine. Because that small investment is just that. It's an investment for you not getting screwed. You know, whatever, $75, $50, whatever it costs you to have that document looked over by an attorney, that's a small investment compared to what you could potentially have to pay if you're screwed in the agreement. Whether it's rent, back rent, future rent, deposit, whatever. Pay the small fee so you get out of the big fee. And that's really, I mean, I'm not an attorney, you know. But I highly suggest if you don't understand what you're reading, don't pretend to. Nobody, you know, everybody's different, and not everybody can understand legal mumbo jumbo. And if you can't understand what you're reading, just make sure there's no loopholes in there that's going to screw you over. Think about now and think about the future. You know, think about down the road what position you'll be in when that document is still valid. You know, I may be broke now, but I'm going to have money down the road. How's that going to affect this or whatever? You know, I don't have a car now, but by then I will have a car. How's that affect this? You know, whatever the case may be, how's your future going to affect that document? And like I said, if there's too much mumbo jumbo, have an attorney go over it with you. They'll do it, if you know, especially if there's a fee involved. And a lot of attorneys will do it just just to have a potential client. You know, it's like, hey, you got them over barrel with this, you know. So that's kind of how I feel about it. Unless you have some thoughts, that's really all I know to put out there.
That's generally, you know, generally what I think as well. I mean, I don't have as much I don't have any experience. I'm not a lawyer either. But it's good to know these things if you're just starting out and you don't know about these things. I certainly learned a lot from our personal financial episodes. A bunch of shit that I didn't know. And
Like I said, it could be a whole nother episode about investments and a lot of stuff I've looked into after those two episodes are released, but I don't want to focus just on that. I mean, we'll revisit that. We've talked about how to incorporate it in future episodes, but we kind of wanted to offer variety, you know, a wide scope of content, not just narrow it down, I think. So,
yeah, so it's yeah, I mean, I enjoy that. I mean, I don't just want to talk about politics. I want to talk about other shit that's going on too. So
right. Yeah. And I will say this: I was surprised that those two parts, one and two, of personal finance. I was surprised that those were among our popular episodes of recent. Because I figured when we were doing them, yeah, this information is helpful, and we can point to it if somebody needs advice. Say, hey, listen to this. We did a show on that, you know. But for the most part, I thought that the listening audience would find it boring unless it pertained to them directly, which I guess it resonated. So, especially in these times right now, the inflation affecting a lot of people's savings and prices going up as a result of it. A lot of folks who operate an automobile or handicapped because of gas prices being what they are.
Well, if you would just buy an electric car, you wouldn't have this problem. Bullshit.
Oh, they're not doing it on purpose. It's awful funny how I forget what state it was. It's going to offer a charging station every 50 miles for electric vehicles. It was just announced.
It's not California, is it?
No, I want to say it's Texas, or, but I could be wrong. Like I said, I'm not 100%. I don't think it's California. So that'd be too obvious.
Texas would make sense, but considering all the tech companies have moved there.
Well, yeah, this is true.
I mean, every couple of years, do these companies just get like a, because there's no, I know it's tax incentives is why this happens. But like I get the impression that every couple of years, maybe the certain states drop their sales tax just to get businesses to move in their direction. But by that account, I mean, why aren't more companies moving to Florida or, you know, I don't know. Just kind of fascinating.
Florida eliminated tax on gas and food and other necessities to kind of help compensate for the high prices going on. Which I thought that was pretty cool. And I'm like, you know, Alabama, they're just going to raise prices on gas whenever they feel like it. So
yeah, by July 4th, it'll be, this happens every major holiday or any time where they know people are going to be traveling a lot. They don't advertise this, but all you have to do is go just take a trip past any gas station. And you'll see this. I mean, it's not uncommon. Like if you have one gas station on one side of the road and you have another gas station on the other side of the road, there'll only be like a couple of cents difference between the two of them. It's crazy. And for a time there, I think you could point to the proprietors of these gas stations doing this, but now not so much, I don't think. Not in this economy. I mean, there was a time where you could look at something and be like, hey, you know, it's 4th of July, or generally on 4th of July or on a weekend in general, gas usually goes up a couple of cents because they know people are going to be in their cars on weekends. I mean, I don't know what these people did during COVID. I guess they're just trying to recoup. Like, everybody's locked in their house. Well, everybody's out in their car now. I guess I'll, you know. Of course, when you're, there's certain things that, I mean, and oil is not just about gas. One of the things that, that I have noticed, we put up a, you put a chart somewhere on Facebook and I reposted it on our, Facebook page, all the different things that oil, that we use oil to make.
It was kind of surprising there, wasn't it?
I thought. I mean, any plastic or anything. But I mean, if you listen to the Democrats and so forth, oh, we've got to get rid of fossil fuels. It's bad for the environment. But you know, do you realize how many people you'd be putting out of work if you said, you know, no more oil, you know, go back to the horse and buggy. As long as we're rich, screw you. Which is about what it feels like.
It's what it is.
But I mean, just the sheer amount of stuff that we use petroleum for is just mind-boggling. And I'm all for, you know, doing things a more efficient way, but you just can't stop on a dime, which is essentially what they tried to do, and then they panicked. So
what did they panic over? I didn't hear you.
They panicked over the fact that, you know, people started screaming bloody murder because their gas, because gas got so expensive.
I don't think they're too surprised about people's reaction. What I think is, I don't want to say interesting because it's not really that interesting. It's ridiculous. Is that they're trying to blame Putin for inflation and the gas prices.
Nobody buys that crap. That's
nobody. I know. And they still keep trying to sell it, man.
How much? Like, it would be different if a large portion of our oil, a large portion of our oil came from Russia. It does not. Fertilizer comes from Russia, you know, which sort of, you know, leads into the whole conversation about food. But I mean, I guess they figure on not a lot of people watch the news, or if they do, they only get it from one source. So we can panic these people till the cows come home and they'll just buy it, you know. They occasionally try to pull out the you know, infectious disease card, monkeypox.
You're not allowed to call it monkeypox anymore. Apparently that's racist.
Okay. Then please enlighten us, sir. What is the politically correct term?
It's MPX.
What the fuck ever.
I heard that on another podcast you and I listened to, and I'm like, what? I've been trying to catch up since I've been away last 3 weeks, and I'm like, what the fuck? When I found out hair was racist, I'm surprised they didn't talk about it on this podcast.
Oh, okay.
Hair's racist. Yeah, man.
Okay. Please explain. You have my attention.
Well, as near as I can understand it, the woke left wants to pass a law that will dictate that you may not use hair as a prevention of hiring. In other words, you can't discriminate towards hair.
Because if you have like,
and I don't know,
or blue
right,
hair,
you know what?
Pink
I don't,
hair.
I don't know of anybody.
Now, okay, wait a minute. There is some basis for this, but it's just not okay. If you go to a job interview and your hair is pink, purple, you have a nose ring in your nose, you're covered in tattoos, they can't discriminate against you, but it's not going to help your chances.
Lowe's didn't care.
I guess the perception is now, like, because I see people walking around I see older people walking around with colored hair, which I'm like, to each their own, you know, but I can understand from employers, some people want to project a certain image, and if you don't fit that image, you know, they're going to, I mean, even my employer has relaxed a lot of, they can't say anything if you've got tattoos. They can't really say anything if you have a nose ring. They've stressed to us, don't come in here with blue hair, or don't come in here with, keep the politics talk to a minimum, you know, that kind of shit. Because they want to project a certain culture and a certain, you know, environment for your customers, mm-hmm. especially in retail. But I applaud these companies that are get woke employees in their midst, and they're like, if you have a problem with it, walk away. I mean, you don't have to have a job. It's a privilege, you know. I've heard of only one case, and it really wasn't job related. A couple of years ago, there was a news story about a kid that wanted to join the wrestling team.
Okay.
And they wouldn't let him join the wrestling team unless he cut his hair. He had dreadlocks at the time. And there was this whole big stink about, you can't make me cut my hair. It's, you know, blah, blah, blah. And you know, that kind of stuff pops up from time to time. And it's just like, I mean, are they literally trying to move towards 1984? Everybody shaves their head Everybody has to buy razors on the black market. All your, you know, commands come from the telescreen. I can't stress that enough, people. If there is not you don't read any book for the rest of your life, you need to at least read 1984.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you think we have problems now? if I mean, these people are nuts. I mean, hair, you know. I mean, the whole definition of racism is, okay, you don't like somebody because of their ethnicity, where they come from. You know, that term has gotten so kind of exaggerated, and, you know, I don't even think we know what it is anymore, what the true definition of it is.
What, racism?
Exactly.
Yeah, I think the left tried to change the definition of what that means. And I'm pretty sure that it is like a lot of other things. Like the word ironic doesn't mean what you and I think it means. They don't understand that irony is not sarcasm, or, you know, they think it's like, that's ironic. No, it ain't. So where's the irony? They really are trying to say sarcasm. So irony has become a synonym for sarcasm.
I mean,
I think it's totally stupid, man. And this trend, you know what? This goes right into the death of the English language, which is on our topic list. So
yes,
we just eased right into that, man.
I was fascinated by this. You put up a post, on your. I wish I would have had enough. Could have figured out how to post it on our main page. Like, I see memes all the time. My favorite is the one with, you know, when kids use words like yeet, and I have to go look it up in the dictionary.
Yeah, yeet, yeet. Yeah.
I mean, so what brought you to this,
just notion? Certain things, like using singular and plural wrong, like Google have. Well, Google is made up of many different people, but it's one entity. It is a singular entity. So it's Goober. Yeah, Cooper. Google is.
Might as well.
Freudian slip there.
Well, Google.
So, in grammatically speaking, Google as an entity should be treated as one entity, one single entity. Like a band, for example. I hear this a lot when people talk, Metallica are planning a new tour. No, Metallica is planning a new tour because Metallica is one band. It's one group. It's singular. That's one thing that's really bugging the shit out of me.
Well, they're not taught English properly, apparently.
No, grown people. Grown people. It's not just millennials. It's grown people says this shit. They're trying to sound intelligent when they're not. They sound stupid. Another thing that's getting on my nerves is starting every sentence with so. So ask me a question. See, I just did it. Ask me a question.
What was the weather like today?
So the weather was really hot and humid. No matter what sense it is, they always begin it with so. Just leave the word off. It's an extra word. It's pointless. Only time I ever use so is when I'm being an asshole. It's like, so? I mean, otherwise, I don't say it. Or so.
I've run into people who remove the R's and T's from their words. And
there we go. Important. You know. Oh, my God. Why? Why did you get me started on this, man?
I mean, I know why.
Putin. It's Putin. We don't say the T. It's Putin. It's Putin.
Or putting R's where they shouldn't be. Like, I heard a customer do this the other day when I was, thank you or something like that. I'm like, that doesn't even make sense. Like, who talks like that?
God. All right. Yeah. There's a lot of things like that. The wrong use of two and two and two. The wrong use of there and there. Just the little shit like that, that a lot of people make the mistake over. Bro, you know, I let a lot of that slide. People say quite instead of quiet. No, quite and quiet are two different things. They're not the same word. It's like be quiet. No, it's be quiet. It's another word. Use the right word. Quite is a measurement, is an amount. Like, oh, I'm quite perturbed at you, Gio. I'm really perturbed. Oh, that's quite adequate, thank you. That's plenty adequate, you know. It's not quiet. Hey, man, I'm quiet perturbed with you. No, use the right word in the right sentence in the right way. I don't always use proper grammar. But when I'm talking to somebody and I'm trying to make a point, I know how to speak. And I've noticed this when I was in Pennsylvania. This is a weird thing I noticed. Because you know me, I'm not a social butterfly by any stretch of the imagination. And I'm usually like in a group setting, like a family reunion or a party or something, I usually just get my food and my drink and I just watch people. I don't get involved. But if it's something I think I can contribute to, like if we're talking about current events or politics or something or music, something, oh, I know a lot about this. I can contribute. I have a lot to offer in this conversation. So I'll jump in when I'm confident, you know. And one thing I noticed is when I speak, people listen. I was a little bit, you know, I was like, I wouldn't say surprised, but I was a little thrown back by that. I was like, whoa, I got the whole room listening to me. You know, I just wanted to talk to one or two people, but damn, everybody stopped, you know. And I kind of thought about that on the way back home because it was a long trip back home, and I was kind of reflecting on the past 3 weeks of my grandma and everything. And I think that is because I don't say a lot to begin with, so... It's like when I do say something, people don't want to miss it. They're like, oh, shit, he said something. Let me catch this, you know. And my aunt Ingrid, my Uncle Farley's wife, said to me, "We right after my grandfather died, 2001, he died right after 9/11. 9/11 happened in September. He died right before Thanksgiving, like the week of Thanksgiving in 2001. And my Aunt Ingrid, we were fixing Thanksgiving dinner. It was the first Thanksgiving, obviously, without my grandfather, my dad's dad. And my dad's brother, Farley, my uncle, his wife, Ingrid, she's a real sweet woman. I mean, I've always liked Aunt Ingrid, and I always kind of felt like there's a lot of my family I wish I was able to spend more time with, you know, and that's another reason. That's another reason why I took the opportunity to spend the last 3 weeks with my grandmother, because she's 91 and everything that she's been through. I mean, do I want to look back and say I wish, or do I want to say, you know, hey, I'm glad that I had those 3 weeks? And that's kind of where I was. I made that post about Facebook too, telling people, you know, that hey, It's not that I didn't want to see anybody when I was up there. It's just I had a priority, you know, my grandmother, you know. And that was kind of the focal point, you know. But the next time I go up, hit me up and, you know, I'll try to spend some time visiting with people that I didn't get to this time, you know. And my aunt told me, my aunt Ingrid, she said, how does she say it? Like I said, that was like 20 years ago, so it's a long time, but I know I never forgot it. I made a joke about something about the food. I forget exactly what it was. I think it was about catfish, because you know that's a, like a southern thing, and you know we like to compare southern stuff and northern stuff, especially the food, because some of the food down here, like soul food, is a lot better. But then there's a lot of food up there, like Italian food and your ethnic foods, that's a lot better. And you know it's fun to kind of compare, you know. And she had said something. We were in the kitchen. And I just made a joke. And she started laughing. And she's like, you don't say much, but when you do, it's powerful. And I always remember that because I didn't think it was that big of a deal. I just made a joke about catfish. And she started laughing. And she goes, you don't say much, but when you do, it carries weight. That's what she said. What? She didn't say powerful. She said, carries weight. And I always remember that. I was like, damn, she, you know, that was her perspective as my aunt, you know. I didn't really grow up around my family. I grew up in Alabama. They grew up in Pennsylvania. I mean, they live in Pennsylvania, most of them. I've got cousins in Utah and stuff. And for a long time, my grand aunt lived in Texas. And so, I've had family all over the country. The most of my family is in Pennsylvania near Pittsburgh, and I'm so disappointed in that town.
Yeah, the political the fact that the news media at one point is focused on the politics and
here's the thing, man. You know, when I was coming up, you had fucking Jerome Bettis, and before that you had Terry Bradshaw, you had fucking Mario Lemieux on the freaking Penguins, man. You had blue collar steel workers that, you know, you had coal miners. It was a blue collar town when I was coming up. Hardcore, men were men, women were women. And I tell you, Pennsylvania wives who married these coal miners and steel workers, man, they bulletproof women, man. I'm telling you. And that's the way it was. It was fucking hard winters, hard work, hard life. And Pittsburgh was one of those towns where, or it's a city where, if you were from Pittsburgh, man, nobody really fucked with you. It's like, damn, you know, really that. There's a famous sandwich. It was a hamburger in Pittsburgh. And I don't know if they still do, but the truck drivers would stop and get it. And it had all the sides on it. It had the coleslaw and the french fries and everything. It was all on the hamburger. And it was like a foot high. You know, man food, okay?
Yeah. Man
and,
food sticks to your ribs.
Right. I was up there in just the local news, you know, it was Pittsburgh, KDKA, I think. It was just the local news. It's a bunch of fucking pansies that live there now. It's like, you fucking noodle boys everywhere, man. It's like I'm closing my business because, you know, a car drove through the front window and crime is just, it's like back in the 70s and 80s, man, if you had, you just left the bullet holes in the glass and you opened up the next day. I mean, you know, nobody comes, just, I don't know what I'm going to do. If the south side of Pittsburgh's been in trouble since the steel industry left Pittsburgh. See, that's what the problem is. Google fucking, not many people know this, but Google moved into Pittsburgh and woke the whole place. That's what happened to Pittsburgh. Google. It used to be a nice balance between educated people and blue collar people, you know, because the first heart transplant was at Carnegie Mellon in Pittsburgh. Not many people know that. There's rich history there. and it's a hilly, it's as hilly as San, imagine San Francisco in the wintertime. It's like 2 or 3 feet of snow on the ground. You got to drive back and forth to work in it. I mean, it's hilly like San Francisco, but it has winter. and that made men out of people and then women out of people, man. It but now it's like some of the people they interviewed, you know, they're talking about all the crime in the South Side. I asked my Uncle Ed, I was like, he was born and raised in Pittsburgh. I asked him, I said, what happened to the South Side? And he was like, well, when the steel industry left, you know, a lot of these tech jobs came in, and with that came wimps, you know, people that are used to air conditioned cubicles and not used to really lifting a finger, you know. And everybody in my family, all the men have coal history. Everybody in my family, on my dad's side, my mom's side, they're all hardworking farmers. On my dad's side, they're all hardworking coal, you know. Now, my grandfather and a couple of my uncles, they rose out of coal and went into law, but there's roots in coal, okay? And my Uncle Ed from Pittsburgh, he retired from the school district where he was a CPA, I think, or he was administrator or something like that. But, you know, he worked in a coal mine, you know, getting himself through school. His college job was coal mine. Okay, that's my Uncle Ed right there. That's a man. He didn't work at Noodles. He didn't work at Wendy's. He was working his way through school in a damn coal mine. Okay? My dad retired from the coal mine, you know. So I just hear these people interviewed on the news up there, and I'm like, what happened to my city, man? I mean, I want to start wearing the Penguins jersey or the Steelers, you know, but I'm almost embarrassed to now because it's like, I don't want to represent a woke ass city. I mean, it is. And I remember Pittsburgh, they used to call the Steelers the Steel Curtain, man. You couldn't get through it. But now it's like, oh, they got these faggoty ass, pardon my language. I don't want to use that word in the wrong way. That's not in the home. I used it in as a replacement for the word stupid. I don't have a problem with gay people. I really don't. And I forget you can't use that word at all, you know. But really, the dumbass uniforms that I've seen the Steelers in, it's like, man, it's like back in the 80s and the 70s, the fucking uniform was tight looking, man. You know, they were out on the field looking good. The black and yellow, man, with the logo, the primary color logo with the stars on it, you know. Looking good. Now it's like, oh my God, you look like ballerinas out there on the field. Like, what the fuck, man? And I was watching the Pirates up there with my grandmother. They got close a couple times, but damn it, they didn't win. I was hoping they'd win with that Atlanta game.
We're pretty tough this year. That's all I can say.
So. God, that was so freaking mad.
Somebody who has told me over the years I don't like sports.
But I like my Pittsburgh teams, though, man. I guess the only team you don't mess with now is the freaking Penguins, man. I mean, I don't know how they're doing because
they didn't make it this year. The Stanley Cup is being decided between the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Colorado Avalanche.
Tampa has a hockey team.
Yeah, they have for years.
There ain't no fucking snow in Florida. What the hell?
They used to have two teams, but they used to have.
Don't tell me anymore. If Penguins disappoint me, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to start rooting for the Cowboys.
The Lightning, I think the Lightning are one of the oldest teams in the NHL, I think.
So. Well, the Penguins are going to have to get their shit together. And the Pirates, I'm used to them losing. But, man, they were so close with Atlanta, man. I'm like, damn it, y'all were so close. You can't beat the Braves. Come on, man. I mean, it's not like we're up against the Yankees here, for crying out loud. It's fucking Braves, man. It was a good game, though. I'm glad I watched it. I'm used to, I'm, you see, they put a cap on their salary. That's why Pirates don't have good players, because they put a salary cap years ago on their players. Cause they felt like, you know, athletes were getting overpaid and ticket sales weren't enough to pay their salaries. So it's like,
there's a lot of people who would probably agree with you nowadays about that.
Well, they made the decision. It didn't cost them. That's why when they do win, it's important, because, you know, those aren't your I'll pay you anything baseball players. Those are who are willing to just play for the Pirates because they love the Pirates, you know. They're not the highest paid athletes by any stretch. I think $6 million each season is the highest that they'll pay. That's a lot of money, but that's not near what a Yankee's getting, you know.
Yankees, everybody, which I'm can count myself in this camp. I'm not a Yankees fan by any stretch of the imagination. Cause
I'm not either, because
I hate New York with a. I've never been there.
I hate the city. Yeah, I don't like New York. I'm not a big fan of Boston.
I mean, for years, like, because it's a big draw, all you could watch on ESPN was the Yankees and Red Sox game. Like, I don't care.
I don't either. I don't like either one of those cities. I don't give a snoot.
If I was ever able to, you know, take a trip and, you know, visit places, you know, maybe. Yeah. But
I would visit New York, but don't ask me to like it while I'm there. I mean, and I think Chicago has the best pizza, so I wouldn't even say the pizza's any good, man.
Yeah, one of my friends was in Chicago for a while, and he was telling me all about the wonders of the Chicago deep dish pizza, and I'm like, okay. Any kind of pizza that I have to eat with a fork is not pizza to me. That's just how I feel about it.
Well, you don't have to get a deep dish pizza. Their regular pizzas are pretty good, too. And I like their hot dog philosophy over in New York. And I don't even like Chicago. As a city, I mean, I love the history.
None of this used to be this way. I mean, it's just over the last half dozen years they've just gotten to. I mean, just I don't know
out of control.
How do you live in some place like Chicago, man? I mean,
because you wake up and you don't feel like going anywhere. You know what I mean?
I mean, if somebody gets shot.
I thought about this for a long time. Those cities like Baltimore, New York, Boston, Chicago. It's like Los Angeles. You know, if you were to get in a car and drive from one, like from South LA to North LA, you know, it takes you 4 hours to get across town in a car. That's how big that city is. That's how. So I got to think. Well, no, they've got the traffic moves. But here's the thing. These cities are so big, dude. You wake up in the middle of one, how in the hell are you going to get out of it? What you have to do to get out of that city is so much effort. It's like, why bother? You know what I mean? It's hard enough for you to get back and forth from work every day. You know, so it's no wonder city people don't have an understanding about what goes on outside of the city, because they hardly ever have an opportunity to leave. Like New York, for example, people don't leave New York unless they're rich folks. The poor people in New York, that's a prison to them. They can't get out of that city unless somebody drug them out. You know, I spend a lot of time thinking about that. You know, it's like, why don't they just up and go? It's like, because how are they going to do that? The subway just goes around in circles. We learned that in Atlanta. You know, so you can't just take a subway and just leave, or a bus and just leave. You know, I mean, you could, but I mean, you could take a bus, you know, like a Greyhound or something, but, you know, get to the bus station. Most of the bus stations are in seedy parts of town, so you got to worry about that. It's weird to think about, but yeah, it's kind of like a self-induced prison situation. You know, you wake up and you're in the middle of this big ass city, and it's like, yeah, how am I getting out of here? What, you know?
Yeah.
It takes money and effort and everything else, man. It's kind of weird to think about, but I really think that has a lot to do with
it. Yeah, I mean, your mentality changes a little bit too, because all of a sudden you're used to, like, if you're from this part of the country, it's kind of laid back, and you don't feel pressured, you don't feel confined, you can.
Yeah, it's like here in Alabama, just get up and go. I mean, there's not really holding you back unless you just don't want to go anywhere. It's like, even in the city here where I live, it doesn't feel like a city. Like, I can get out on my bike, and then depending on what direction I go, I can be in the woods or I can be in downtown. I mean, you know, I don't feel like I'm boxed in like I feel like city dwellers feel like, you know.
Now, how does all this relate to the death of the English language? Just kind of.
Oh, I moved past all that because I can rant about that all day. I mean, I say what I need to say about the death of the, it died because people, you know.
What, it makes me wonder what English classes are like in high school now.
Well, that started when I was in high school. You know, we didn't do much grammar when I was in high school. We did mostly literature. So we didn't go over a lot of rules of the English language. We just read a lot of stories and did book reports and stuff.
Well, I mean, like, you do most of your actual, the concepts of it, like in elementary school and middle school, right?
Yeah, so, who remembers all that, though? I mean, unless you continually use the good grammar, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that kind of struck me when you said it, the English language is dead, because it's just like, yeah, I mean, we all had that, go through those stages where we don't use that. You know, not everybody talks like they're in a Jane Austen novel, which, don't get me started on Jane Austen novels, but
yeah, that's a whole other deal. But the thing about it is, you know, we abbreviate everything. Like nobody says air conditioner. So, yeah, man, turn on the AC, dude. It's pretty bad. I've got to look up abbreviations. Like, somebody posted on YouTube, they had a medical thing done, and they spoke in it like abbreviations and or acronyms more than abbreviation. Like, I don't know what any of this is. So I'm, you know, on one tab of the browser, I'm looking up acronyms, and the other tab, I'm trying to read what the dude posted to try to figure out what's going on with it, man. So why don't you just type this shit out, man? How long does it take? You got autocorrect. I mean, my phone types random shit for me all the time, man.
Yeah, I've even done that, and he's like, and you're like, what? And I have to explain it. And you're like, why did you just say that? I'm like,
yeah, I'm not gonna sit here and fucking waste brain power trying to translate shit. I mean, I ain't got time for that. And you don't abbreviate stuff. You do the text to speech thing, and sometimes it doesn't translate it right, and I get all confused. That's not your fault. But I just wish it didn't happen, because I'm sitting here reading scrambled eggs.
And it's supposed to be getting better, but I don't know.
Like, what the hell is he saying? I'll be like, fuck it, dude. What the hell are you talking about? Proofread your shit.
Yeah, I know. That was an ongoing thing. I'm like, that's why I got news. You started picking on you. You're like, okay, Mr. Toothman, I won't do it anymore. Don't give me a bad grade.
I'm not trying to be a dick about it. It's just like, I'm trying to figure out what you're saying so we can communicate. And I just, I'm not getting it. It's not clicking now, with me. Man.
Considering, well, at least I'm not as bad as some of these kids and adults that I see. I don't know how these people can communicate, because it doesn't, it sounds like I hear people, you know, talk to their parents or something, and it's just like, what? I mean, you know, how do you, I don't see how parents don't walk around with a dictionary in their back pocket.
My parents don't give a shit. I mean, yeah, to be honest about it.
Yeah.
If you have any communication issues with my father, his retort will be an abrupt, well, talk right, damn it. And any discussions on that.
One of my favorite exchanges between you'll be doing something and you'll pull out, there's a TLC host many years ago. named Christopher Lowell. Yeah. He was like this
interior designer dude,
but he's like really sort of
effeminate
and sort of like, you know, like, this is a very nice pillow. It has very very soft lines, very You pulled that a few times on your dad, and your dad's like,
"Yeah, he triggers easily. It's something." I've been fucking with my mom lately too. That's been fun. I normally leave her alone, but fuck it.
Well, you've been in a car with her for hours and hours. What are you gonna do, man?
With my grandmother too, so most of that time we were just hanging out with my grandmother. So it was me, my mom, and her mom, which I thought was kind of cool. Like, you know, I told my mom that too. I said, you know, not only did I appreciate spending time with grandmother, but, you know, we spent time together too, you know, which I thought was pretty cool, because I'm not gonna say I take my mom for granted, but I don't want to take my mom for granted. You know, she's not always going to be here. So we had that time, and that just added to the collection of memories, you know.
Yeah. But as far as, like, you know, living in other cities and stuff, I mean, I can't imagine myself living, if I move any other place, I can't imagine it not being Alabama. I was there for like 12 years before I moved back to Mississippi. So.
It's not perfect, but it's home to me, and I've planted roots here, and I will travel, as you know, some of my plans. I'm not going to get into here, but, you know, Alabama will always be my home. Even when I was up to Pennsylvania, it happens. Somebody's bound to ask me if I ever thought about moving back. I said, man, it's not my home. My home is in the South. My home is Alabama. I grew up there. I've lived there. I've lost there. You know, I love coming back to see family, and that's always good. But I told my aunt, I was like, I don't know how anybody owns anything up here. You know,
well,
property taxes alone will kill you. Only hope you have is if you're a farmer and you get some breaks, but according to some family I talked to, not much. So I thought about having a farm up there just as a go-to. Just even if I wanted to have a white Christmas, just, hey, I want to go back to Pennsylvania to spend this Christmas because it's guaranteed white Christmas. You know, 2-3 feet of snow on the ground. I haven't had a white Christmas since I've lived here, and I've been here 40 years.
Kind of a
years,
rare thing in almost. Alabama.
and as a child, that's one thing I remember Christmases with a lot of snow on the ground. And I don't care, is when I can wear shorts on Christmas Day, which I do here, it's always going to be weird to me. It's like Christmas in Florida. You know, it's like, it's just weird. You know, to me, Christmas always has thick snow, had that cozy Christmas tree. And my dad used to dig up our Christmas trees, man. And after Christmas, we would plant them in the front yard. And those trees no longer exist. Whoever bought our house after us, you know, chopped them all down. So that was heartbreaking, but it's reality. But we never got cut Christmas trees when I was growing up, you know, and it was always nice to see how big the Christmas trees got and with the snow on them, big Douglas firs. I mean, these are trees you can't buy. I mean, they're just perfect. Smell different, just smell like rosemary. I mean, it's just big, beautiful, fat Christmas tree with snow on it out in the yard. And we'd go sled riding, and you know, I used to go skiing with my mom's curtain rods, which I finally fessed up. She thought she prevented. My mom's so funny. We were talking about it one time, and she's like, you know, I saved your life, you know. You never know what could have happened if you're going through with that plan. I said, I know exactly what would have happened. And she goes, no, you don't. I said, yeah. I said, Mom, that wasn't my first rodeo. I've been sneaking those curtain rods out and skiing down that hill in the backyard for years. That's just the time you caught me with them. She rolled her eyes. She goes, oh, my God. I said, yeah, I mean, I might have died that day. You might have saved me. But all them other times, nah, ain't nobody saved me, man. I went flying down that hill.
That's just funny. I've heard those stories over the years, man. I never did anything.
I was right.
I envy so many of my friends and stuff because I didn't get to do any of that, get away with any of that kind of thing when I was a kid I was protected and just didn't feel like I could do things. I mean, the most I ever got in trouble for was hooking a bunch of electronics up with my cousin in my bedroom and plugging it all into a 9-volt battery and watching the battery get hotter and hotter and hotter until it started leaking acid. That was the extent of my adventures as a kid. I didn't do crap like that.
Like dump your toy box out and slide it down the steps.
Uh-huh.
And I did so much shit, man.
I can just imagine your mom like,
oh, man.
If you don't quit that, I'm going to.
Yeah, man. I spray painted the garage with my name after I learned how to spell it. Bright red spray paint.
Which wasn't very smart. Because your dad knew who did it.
Yeah, I told that story when I was up there. I was like, yeah, I hid over at the tea gardens till past dinner. Yeah.
Oh man, fun times. You never realize how much you miss when you're a kid till you're not a kid anymore.
Yeah. I had a pretty good childhood, man. Overall, no complaints. I wish I had done more than I did, though. I feel like I held back. A lot of shit I wanted to do that I didn't, believe it or not.
Don't we all do that,
though? Yeah, a little bit.
It's
like I wanted to screw my skateboard to the bottom of my toy box and roll down the road with it because we lived on a hill. And it was a nice long hill. I could have probably gone like half a mile or a mile down. And it was a nice, it wasn't too steep. So I climbed the top and probably go 2 miles. I figure if it was screwed to the bottom, I can get in the toy box and I can lean and that would turn it. Cause you know, that's what turns the skateboard when you twist it, you know? Mm-hmm. So I could steer it once I got in like a fucking bobsled. But I never could get that plan to fruition because of circumstances, man. But that was definitely, that would have definitely got my ass in trouble.
Yeah,
my mom see me flying down the road in my toy box, man.
Yeah, nowadays you would have, not only would have you gotten in trouble, but your, you know, the news would have been like, so people in this quiet community are wondering why this child was allowed to screw his skateboard to his toy box and push it down a hill. Who is now critically injured and in the hospital.
I mean, you see, the thing is, I don't think I would have gotten hurt, man, unless I got run over. But yeah, it's just things like that. I had ideas that I just didn't quite get around to, you know. My mom only knew some of the shit I had planned. I mean, she only knows what I had actually done. If she had known what I actually had planned, I'd probably, I don't know, I'd be in a home somewhere, probably. That motherfucker ain't right. Take him. He conjuring shit.
Oh, I've never, you know.
Fun to think about, but yeah, I was, well, you know. And I didn't have any friends either. That didn't help because I get bored. And I didn't have friends talking me out of bad ideas, you know. So.
Well.
Yeah. I wasn't even safe in the wintertime, man. I mean.
Oh, well.
I remember coming down that hill on the sled one time, man. I couldn't stop. So normally we'd go halfway up. There was a flat spot where an old road used to be. And that's our starting point. And we wouldn't get too fast, but it was still fun. And I was like, man, it's getting boring, man. I'm not going fast enough. So I would climb all the way to the top of the hill on this one particular occasion. That's me, our next door neighbor, Sarah, and Mikey, and my sister and brother. Now, Sarah, I don't know. I'm friends with both her brothers, but I'm just kind of nervous about asking how Sarah's doing. I think she got married anyway, but yeah, damn.
Anyway.
But anyway, golly, and that derailed me. I'm sorry. and I mean in the most respectful way. I'm not even, you know, I just remember our childhood, and it was just, you know, Sarah's a special person, man. I really, really liked her. But anyway, this one particular time, I took the sled all the way up to the very top of the hill, which is like three times what we normally sled down. And I got going, you know, normal speed. You know, okay, this is pretty fun. I kept getting faster and faster and faster. And I hit that flat spot, which a flat spot on a hill equals ramp. And I went flying. I mean, I was airborne. I was like, oh, shit, I'm not going to be able to stop. There's no way. Because, I landed halfway down the hill, and I was going fast. And our back porch was about a foot off the ground. So the sled hit that. I was flying across the backyard, hit the back porch, and I went flying off the sled and hit the wall of the house across the porch. Slid down the side of the house and landed in this, I guess my mom had was going to plant something there at one time, but never had. And it was just kind of like where something would go, but it was just dirt where there wasn't any porch, but there was rails around it. But it was up next to the house. And I landed in that. It was like three or four feet of snow piled up in there because it had fallen off the roof and plus what it accumulated. And I get up, brush myself off, look around, you know, and I was like, damn, you know. So right around the time that happens, I get around, you know, I move my sled and I'm, you know, it's in the backyard. You know, I move it, situate it, and I walk up on the porch, get ready to go in, because, like, I'm done. I had enough adventure for one day. And the sliding back door opens, and my mom's like, what was that? I was like, what you talking about, Mom? Something hit the house. What was it? I don't know, man. I think it was a bird. Middle of winter, no birds. I think it was the bird come flying through. And I went inside, warmed up, had some hot chocolate and marshmallow. And I called it good. And I was like, well, I'm done. I'm not doing that again. But I did do it about 5 or 10 more times, because why not?
Stuff I never could. I mean, I didn't. Man, we gotta get together more often, man, because I never did any of that stuff when I was a kid.
You want to meet me in Pennsylvania this winter, and we'll get some sleds and find a hill?
Well, if I could, I would, man. I mean,
oh, I'll put your ass on a sled. You'll go down the hill, man. Gravity don't give a fuck. Gravity don't care if you're handicapped, well, able-bodied. It don't care. You're going down the hill one way or another. Now, you might have limited control while you're going down the hill, but you're going down the hill.
Always kind of wanted to
try. We used to slide down with garbage can lids, man. We used to slide down anything, man.
I always wanted to try the old Clark Griswold, that scene from National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, where he puts some sort of stuff on the
That non-nutritive food additive that he was working on.
Something, and he like goes flying for like miles or something, you know.
Yeah.
And like spins around. I was like, that looks fun. I want to try that.
Well, like I said, gravity does not care. Well, that was a nice trip down memory road for no reason whatsoever.
Ever?
Yeah, it's crazy, man. I just wish I had told the people that I cared about them when the time was appropriate for me to tell them. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like when I moved, you know, I'm like I said, I'm friends with Bobby and Mike on Facebook, and I'm in touch with them now. So, and that's cool. So I don't really feel like, you know, it's like, yeah, you know, a lot of my childhood friends from Pennsylvania I'm friends with, but I just, like I said, I'm just too much of a wimp to ask about Sarah. It's like, hey, man, what's your sister doing, man? It's like, no, it ain't like that. I just want her to know, and I never did get a chance to tell her, you know, what a good friend she was, man, you know, that I missed it.
Yeah.
But it is what it is, man.
So you didn't check out any of, you didn't have any places that you went, you know, on a regular basis that you didn't get a chance to visit while you were visiting?
No, I spent 99.9% of time with my grandmother. She couldn't really be left alone. So, and that was the point of me going, like I said on my Facebook post, it's like, you know, I didn't really have an opportunity to visit with people. That's not really why the reason I was there. The few people I did get to see, it was cool. But I was there for other reasons, and I wasn't trying to be rude or anything, you know. I pretty much...
Yeah. So what
I'd like for you to... I'd like for you to piggyback a ride up there.
I'm game.
At some point.
We have at least one mutual friend that I would like to visit.
Well, she lives way on the other side. You know, she don't live on Pittsburgh. She said Pittsburgh is like 7 hours from her.
Yeah, she lives up near Philadelphia, so we'd have to.
She said Philadelphia is like 45 minutes and Pittsburgh is like 7 hours. So that came up in a discussion I had with her last night when I was catching up. Which we'll talk about offline. I don't want to air people's business.
Anything else you want to talk about?
I'm pretty much good. I don't know if we were missed or not, but based on the listenership, I think we were.
Appreciate that, those that, you know, are sticking with us. I mean,
I still feel like y'all need to help us financially. I don't want to beg for money, but this is a lot of work. I mean, and we're having to juggle to get things done. And
I'm trying to make that easier. It's not, I'm doing all this a lot.
No, I mean, I don't mind doing it, but you know, our income is limited and stuff needs, we can't really grow unless we have some kind of revenue to help us grow. And
well, I mean, as far as like a mechanism to where people can
to help to us contribute.
Yeah,
that's cool. I don't know which PayPal you want to use, but that'd probably be the best way.
Let's just use yours, because.
All right. No. Okay. I mean, well, I'll look into it. I'm out of Facebook jail now, so I should be able to do something.
I mean, I don't know if there might be something to the fact that if you can set up a joint one. I don't know how that works.
Well, again, we'll just have to. We have to be a married couple, I think, and I don't know. You and I.
One of our friends many years ago used to joke with us, like, every time you say that, I keep thinking about that.
Well, hell, man, I kept telling her that, you know, I don't know. I kept telling her. Weren't going to do anything with her because of you. So I'd have told her something about how, you know, I don't know. We talk about it later. Like I said.
But yeah,
she's no longer with us anyway, unfortunately. So it doesn't matter.
No, I just think that that always reminds me of that whenever we, but you know, so yeah, getting back on track here, we certainly, if you know, enjoy this, if you get something out of this, you know, if there's anything that you want to know about or want us to talk about or anything, I mean, drop us a line on our Facebook. Just search for Geek versus Geek, you'll find us. We're available on any podcast platform just about, although I've seen some things regarding some platforms that I'm seriously questioning. That's something for you and I to talk about later. Now, if you get something out of this, let us know if you like it or not. I mean, we're on iTunes. Go to iTunes and leave us a review. That would help. You know, post a question. Leave a comment on our Facebook feed. It's not difficult. It just lets us know that that it's useful. Like I said, I'm working on where you can contribute to us financially. We believe in the value for value system, which is if you get something out of this, you know, just whatever you think it's worth, contribute to it. Doesn't matter if it's $5 or $200. You know, whatever you think it's worth. That's how this works. And you don't have to, if there's, you know, other things that you want to contribute to it, you know, artwork or, because we like to change it up every once in a while. I like to draw, but I'm not the best artist in the world. If somebody wants to contribute to that, I'm game. So, you know, there's lots of ways for people to contribute. We want to grow this. We want to make it a success, and y'all can help us do that. So, you know, sky's the limit, as they say. So, yeah. That about cover it, man?
I think so. And just from, if you haven't already, go back and listen to some of our previous episodes. Get caught up. This is episode 17. Not all of them are super long. Just go back and listen to them, catch up. There's a few favorites in there. That'll kind of help you if you're new to the podcast. It'll kind of help you get acquainted with our personalities, and it would definitely help us grow our listenership. So. And if you like what you hear, just make sure whatever device you're using to listen to us, make sure you're subscribed. That way, when we do release a new episode, you don't have to go hunting for it. You automatically get it. And we will, moving forward, we're not going to talk about one particular. It's not a thematic podcast. We are liable to talk about anything. And current events is a big part of that. Culture is a big part of that. Sometimes we'll have dedicated episodes like our popular personal finance episodes. Just whatever, you know, just join us for the ride, for the journey. Two people, two good friends, just having a conversation with each other, and you're involved in that. And like I said, if you want us to keep going, we're going to have to start thinking about a way to kind of contribute financially somehow. Because I never realized what we're doing would be that expensive. But, you know, with all of the different software I had to buy and the equipment that we both had to buy to just make this remotely possible, it's a huge investment. And it's going to be, as we grow, it's going to be a bigger investment. And not trying to beg anybody for money. We're not trying to get rich. We just need to sustain ourselves. And you're getting entertained. If you're a regular listener, you're getting entertained. So you're getting something out of it. And there's a lot of work that goes involved, and there's a lot of prep work. It takes us a week to prep for one show. That's why a lot of times in the beginning we would skip a week, because we just didn't have enough time to get ready. But now we're pretty concise with getting it done in a week, and that's just recording the show. There's stuff that happens after the show. You know, I've got to re-listen to it and do some editing here and there and do some post-production stuff, which doesn't have to happen, but it makes the end product a little better. And each episode does that, get a little better. And it's just getting difficult. Finances are running thin, and it's not, you know, it's just, we're still going to have to think about it. So, I mean, you don't have to do anything. You don't ever have to donate, but it's, you're getting something out of it. We feel like we would benefit greatly if we got something out of it.
And I know there are alternative streams if you don't want, if you don't necessarily want to do the PayPal thing. I'm looking into that as well. I'm not as confident
that I've got Cash App. If y'all are more comfortable with Cash App, you can send me money that way. I can set that up on our Facebook. And you and I split whatever we get down the middle. That was the agreement. So if you send $10, it's not $10 to me and you, and it's, we split it down the middle. So whatever you contribute, he and I are in this half and half. So you're helping both of us do this. So
yeah, I mean, I know it's tough in this economy and everything and what's going on. But if you can, and we don't want to put anybody, I know a lot of podcasts have started saying this, I hear this a lot. We don't want you to put yourself in the poorhouse, so to speak, to do this by any stretch of the imagination. But, you know, if you can contribute to it, you know, we would appreciate it. I mean, I know the big thing, some people like the Bitcoin and stuff. I'm looking into that. I'm not real confident with that, but
if you're going to get into Bitcoin, now's the time to do it, because it's half of what it was this time last year. So
I'm looking into that. I'll maybe post some resources that I've found, and we can talk about that maybe on a future episode. It is definitely more feasible now than it used to be.
Oh yeah.
I just don't know how viable it is as far as, like, because you still have to they do what they call micropayments with some of the there's a new movement thanks to Adam Curry, who invented podcasting, moving away from the big platforms like Apple and so forth. He calls it podcasting 2.0, which I'm looking into, and one of the caveats into this is you can pay micro payments of Bitcoin, which they call Satoshis. It seems kind of convoluted and stuff. I'm trying to, like, how do you really make money doing this? I mean, it just seems weird. Then you have to do the exchange, I'm assuming, between Bitcoin and dollars, so you don't get the full amount of whatever you're exchanging. So that doesn't really seem practical or cost effective to me. I'm not real sure, but like I said, I'm looking into it. So if that's something other people want to do, but right now we're going to just go with the traditional route. I think if we can get it set up, like, you can do the Cash App or you can do PayPal. I'm trying to figure out how to get that, like, get a button or something on our Facebook page. I would love for us to have a website, our own space to do this, but I'm still working on that. I'm doing it I could do this in, like, maybe a couple of hours with traditional software, but I'm trying to be a purist about it and do this the hard way. because I actually want to learn as I'm doing this. And if anybody wants to help me out, you know, give me pointers or suggestions, things that you would like to see on a website about this sort of thing,
You know, I'm all ears. You know, I'm not as active on social media as I used to be, but you know, just drop a line into the Facebook feed, and you know, send us a message, and you know, I'm looking to interact with people. There are other alternatives as far as like communicating with us, like Mastodon, which is something else that I'm trying to get into as well, which is very easy for us to, you know, set up your own server and run, which is like a it's basically like a chat room and Twitter combined, you know, and it's open source. So, you know, I'm just trying to make different things to where people can interact with us more, and it makes the show better, and it makes it possible for us to do more things and interact with our audience. Us interact and you can interact with us. So that's what this is all about, making the show better. So if you get something out of this, please, you know, just let us know.
All right. Well, that pretty much covers the housekeeping aspect of everything, I think. I don't have anything else.
Nope, I'm good.
I mean, I do, but I mean, as far as the show goes, I think we can pretty much call it.
All right, guys. Well, hopefully it won't be 2 or 3 weeks before we do this again. We're going to try to get...
I'm back home now, so things should fall back into the regular schedule. So.
Yeah. Barring me not having... We usually do these on Tuesdays and then release them on Friday. But it just hasn't worked out that way with my schedule and your schedule. So, but hopefully we'll get back into a groove here. I'm looking forward to it. So until next time, guys, I'm Gio.
And I'm Bug.
Later.